Mm-hmm. Hate those that don't love you. But then if you read what Jesus says in verse 44, put that on the marquee because I think it's important. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I know we got some super Christians in here. Let me see the hands of all of those super Christians in here today. But I would bet to say that even some of us super Christians find that that text that we have a problem with that text, because if the truth be told, see, I know Sister Jenkins on my side.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina, Alexandria.
Awesome ruler. Until redeeming. God with the CA.
You are tuned into the spiritual heart.
In an end of but when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you. Gina, Jesus.
Let's tune in.
That's what
as evangelist
we
call Ron Bell takes you further
you were born
into the word
in a
of
manger.
God. Manger boy,
but on a tree.
And Proverbs 26:2 says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless, listen to this, a curse causeless shall not come. That means a curse that it's not caused for, it's not going to come. A causeless curse shall not come. This scripture is saying, so the sparrow flies around the house and the swallow migrates to strange countries. So undeserved cause being pronounced or declared officially. See, when somebody pronounced something to you, a curse to you, they pronounce it to you and they declare it officially, it might flutter around the neighborhood. Listen to this. This is wonderful. It might flutter around about the neighborhood for a season. See, this disease, it came, and for the people that are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, it didn't come for you. It come from the people that's not doing it obedient to God. So that's why he's telling the saints now. He said, this is not going to come. It's not going to come to you. It might flutter about the neighborhood for a season. And then it's going to disappear. Saints of God, coronavirus have to disappear from us, the saints, the real saints. I'm not talking about these people that's playing to be saints. And it's not obedient to God, that haven't bowed their knees to God. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the ones that have fallen down on their knees and began to pray out to the living God and say, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me and my family. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be obedient to everything you say. We're going to every command that you give us, we're going to be faithful for that commandment. This is who this scripture is talking about. And let me tell you that scripture again. It's found in Proverbs 26:2. And he said, that curse is not going to come to in our neighbor. It's going to come in for a season, but then it's going to disappear. the curse utterly against the innocent person will have no effect. The curse that comes that's against an innocent person will have no effect on them. It will return to the one that uttered it. For example, I just wrote down three examples of a failing curse. And it was Balaam and Israel. And it's found in Nehemiah 13 and 2. And Goliath and David is found in 1 Samuel 17 and 43. And the S-H-I-M-E-I-S, Shemesh, or David. The Shemesh put a curse on David. And it's 2 Samuel 16, verse 5 and verse 12. It's what I wrote down. Now, what this scripture means to the church is like the birds that fly around their migration patterns as God made them to do, and he blessed them. We, as the children of God, who are without sin, have nothing to worry about. When we are innocent and without sin, no curse will have an effect on us. Isn't that wonderful? See, a lot of people are worrying that don't have to be worried. A lot of people are on edge that don't have to be on edge. When you're doing what God say do, you don't have to worry any repercussions. God is going to take care of you. If the world take care of his own, God is going to take care of his own. So no curse will have any effect on us. Return it's the curse. It's going to return back to the one that uttered it, or that spoke it, or that let it loose. So here we are. This COVID disease will return back to the one that let it out, to the one that sent it, to the people or persons who started it. God's word is not going to be a lie. God is not going to be a lie. He tells the truth. These people is going to reap the repercussions for what they did. We don't really know. We can guess, but we don't really know. But God knows. We will be untouched, unscathed by any curse. If the church only knew the word of God, if they only knew the word, we would be in a better place than we are today. When we are perfect and obedient to the Lord, we can be a lifeline for those who are not. When we are perfect and obedient to the Lord, God said we could be a lifeline to all those people that are not. We have the same calling and anointing as Jesus. You know, pray. We have to pray. We have to intercede. We have to heal the sick. We have to raise the dead. Go make disciples. Luke 4 and 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." We have the same calling and anointing on our lives today. He said we can do the same things Jesus did and greater things. Let's begin to correct ourselves. You know, don't ever think you can go back to what you were doing as the church. The whole reason for this pandemic was to show us up, show our faults, our sins, and where we're going lacking as the church, so we could come back out of those things and out of those places and begin to do what God wants us to do. Just like God showed the house of Jacob their sins, he's showing us ours. Let's take heed, listen to God, and make the changes. This day, this very time, it demands this of us. You know, discernment means This is we back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the lesson. Discernment means to recognize or identify. That's what it means. It means to recognize or identify as separate and distinct. See, the things of the world are separate from the things of God. They're distinct. The things of God is distinctively different from the things of the world. You know, we live holy, they live unholy. You know, there's so many adjectives you can use to describe that. I can't go into all of them right now, but you play around with it and see. To see and understand, we're still talking about the meaning of discernment. It means to see and understand the difference. You got to see the difference, and you got to understand. Not only can you see the difference in a sinful woman and a holy woman. You know, you might see one with a long dress on and a bun up on top of her head. Okay, that's seeing a difference. That's seeing the difference. And you might see one with a halter top and a G-string. That's seeing the difference. But you got to understand the difference. And what's making this woman with the halter top and the G-string act the way she's acting? Well, she's in sin. And she don't know God. It's not to cast her down and say she's no good. No. She's just as valuable to the kingdom of God as the woman with the long dress and the bun on her head. But the difference is she don't know God. We don't want to be like that, saints of God. We have to understand and we have to know the difference in what we're doing in everything. We have to be able to detect something with our eyes or with our other senses. This is what I'm telling you now. We can detect things quickly with our eyes, but with our ability, our inner understanding, we're not so quick to detect things. When we have to use our mental assent and our spiritual assent from God, we're not so quick about that, and that's what we have to learn to do. We have to get in the Word, and He tells us how to keep our mind. You got to keep our mind on Him. Keep our mind perfect. And that way, when you see something, you'll be able to discern between with your eyes and with your intellect and the things that God has given us. It means to recognize a distinction or the difference between something. That's what discernment means. You have to be able to recognize the difference and the distinction between two things. And we gave you some examples of that last week when we told you about good and evil. You have to be able to discern good and evil. The devil, you need to be able to discern hearing the devil's voice and hearing God's voice. It's a distinction between those two. The devil is not going to tell you anything good. It's going to always be bad. But God is going to always tell you good because He is good. God has given us a clarion call. And it's loud and it's clear. We must see it. The church of God has been found out of its place. Now it's time to read the handwriting that's on the wall, so to speak. Let us use this supernatural weapon to get ourselves back in order so we can grow up in Him in all things. We still have riots and murders and killings, drive-by shootings, random killings and murder sprees happening. We have men, women believing lies rather than the truth. We have many souls that we must reach if they're to be saved before it's too late. And that's what our job is. We have to be able to deliver the things that God has given us to deliver. These gifts of God that He has given us through Jesus Christ are needed now more than ever before. But still, I hear sermons preached and I see programs set up in the church that has no mention of the spiritual gifts that God Himself set in the church. If we are to be good stewards of the Word of God, then the gifts, the operation of those gifts, and the teaching of those gifts from Jesus must be taught, learned, and implemented in God's church. Not your church, but in God's church. Again, I'm not pointing to a particular church. When God give us correction,